If you have a copy of the scriptures, please turn to John chapter 10. Moment of transparency here. This has been a difficult week for me. I've been praying for brothers who have been sick. I've been praying for sisters who have been dealing with persistent long-term cold and flu-like symptoms that just won't go away. We've been praying about my attitude towards certain individuals in my life. I've been praying for different things in my life that I just feel like, I don't know, I feel a little like I'm spinning my wheels a bit. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there? I have to say that in many respects, I kind of feel like these kids. I love that part. I love when he's just about to get over and he's like going, I didn't realize it was this high. And then he looks out and sees mom or dad or whoever it is and he just smiles. Or maybe this kid.
I'm good.
Or maybe this guy.
You can do it. Come on, bub. Oh, you gotta hold on to the side. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job, kiddo. Hey.
Yeah. Some of us, I mean, life is kind of like that sometimes, right? Sometimes we feel like these kids. We feel like we're struggling to get over the top, trying to see the end. But it feels like sometimes that we get stuck. We need to understand that God is at work in our difficult moments to give us a glimpse of who He is. And in today's scripture reading from John chapter 10, we're going to see just who He is. So I ask you to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. And let's read that together. Here we go. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word picture that you give us in John chapter 10. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see just what it means that you are the gate for the sheep. And Lord, may we not only hear it, help us to understand it, and help us to believe it. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours. Pray that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish in each one of our lives this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about gates? Probably not. They're just kind of there, right? But gates are important, aren't they? I mean, you look at the gates that, well, the one gate that kid was climbing over. The gate was there to keep him away from, either keep him away from stuff that might harm him or something he shouldn't go near. Gates keep us from being places we shouldn't be. They keep us where the blessings are. They help us to know which way is the right way sometimes, right? When we come to a gate, we can know if we're to go forward or turn around. If the gate opens, we can go forward. If it doesn't, that means we have to turn around. In calling himself the gate, Jesus is identifying himself as the one who will help us to see if we should go forward or turn around. So many times we keep trying to go forward when the gate will not open. Right? I mean, we think that if we try one more time or try a little harder, this time the gate will open. And it doesn't. Jesus is the one who knows all things. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He knows the end from the beginning. And so there is no other that is more perfectly suited to be our gate, to be our guide. So let's look at the passage that we just read and look at some things about this gate that Jesus describes for us. The first thing we're going to see is that the gate's purpose. The gate's purpose. Jesus says, "I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs over by some other way is a thief and a robber, and the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Okay? So here is what the gate's purpose is. Two purposes of the gate. Number one, it keeps out. What does it keep out? It keeps out those who aren't supposed to be in there. Right? It keeps out the thieves and the robbers. It keeps out those who have ill intentions for the sheep. It keeps those out who don't really care about the sheep. And the funny thing is in this particular passage, Jesus is talking to who? Pharisees. These were people who were supposed to care for the sheep of Israel. These are people who were supposed to be the leaders of the sheep of Israel. And yet Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. The gate's purpose, first of all, is to keep out those who would want to harm the sheep. But not only does the gate keep those out, but it also allows in. It allows the shepherd to come in, right? It says that the gatekeeper will open the gate for the shepherd, and the shepherd can go in, and he can call to his sheep. It also allows the sheep to come in. And those things that will allow the sheep to be strengthened and fulfilled, those are the things that are allowed to come in through the gate. Now, let me try to apply this a little bit. If Jesus is our gate, that means that as long as we are in the pen, as long as we are with Him, there's nothing that's going to come into our life that Jesus doesn't allow. Because He's the gate. And you might say, well, now wait a minute, Pastor, I'm facing cancer, or I'm facing a friend's illness, or I've lost a loved one, or I'm facing relationship issues with my kids or with my spouse or whatever the case may be. And I want to tell you something, that whatever is coming through your life at this moment is designed by God to help you become who He wants you to be, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Because God will not allow anything to come into your life that is not meant to hone you and shape you into the person He wants you to be. Now, I'm not going to say that God won't give you anything that you can't handle, because most likely He will give you things that you can't handle to help you run to Him. God isn't about giving you a soft, easy life. gosh, do I have to say that? Yeah, I have to say that because I don't want you, I don't, the last thing I want you to walk out here thinking that as a Christian, all of your life is going to be sunshine and roses. Because a lot of times it's clouds and mud. God, Jesus is the gate. He keeps out the things that are going to destroy you. And then He allows in the things that are going to sustain you and strengthen you and fulfill you. Even though sometimes those things don't look like things that will strengthen, fulfill, and sustain us. That's the purpose of the gate. But what then Jesus talks about, He talks about Himself being the shepherd, right? And that leads us to the gate's promise here. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. And the sheep listen to His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. And when He has brought out all His own, He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Friends, can I say something? I want you to understand something. That the promise of the gate is that only the shepherd will come in. Like I just said, everything that comes into our life comes in because God allows it. Jesus allows it. He is our shepherd. And here is the thing that I love about what Jesus says here. He comes in, He says, and the shepherd knows His sheep. What does that mean for us? Listen to me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to listen very closely to me about what I am about to tell you. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble talking this morning. I don't know what the issue is. But I want you to know this. Jesus knows you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weakness. He knows the good times. He knows your bad times. He knows your highs. He knows your lows. He knows your successes. He knows your failures. He knows your holiness. He knows your sinfulness. He knows your positives. He knows your negatives. He knows your fears. He knows your peace. He knows it all. But not only does He know you, which can be good or bad, but He also loves you. There is nothing that you can do that will make God, that will make Jesus love you more. And there is nothing that you can do that will make Jesus love you less. His love for you is the same each and every day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't ever doubt that. And believe me, there will be times in your life when you do. Because you're going to face these difficult, dark times in your life, like we talked about before, right? And those dark times seem to crowd out all of the light. But His love for you, Jesus' love for you, the light of the world shining in you, right? But not only does Jesus know His sheep, but it also says that His sheep know Him. He says that the sheep will listen to Him. They will follow Jesus. They will listen to Him. And friends, we need to learn to recognize the voice of Jesus in our lives. Because so often we go running off in this direction, that direction, all different directions because we think we hear God's voice talking to us. And really what it is it's our own desire, wanting to do what we want to do. We have to learn how to recognize Jesus' voice. That's why reading God's Word daily, studying it, is so important. This is why it's crucial that we recognize truth, that we can spot falsehood, that we can spot where people are trying to get us to believe what is untrue. And friends, I've got to believe in my heart of hearts that the majority of our world today believes what is untrue. Amen. And the voice of Jesus is going to be more and more contrary to public opinion. Amen. And if we choose to stand with Jesus, we are going to be singled out. It's just the truth. But not only do His sheep listen to Him, they follow Him or they obey Him. I'm going to pick on you, Azariah, just real quick, okay? Can you handle it if I do that? When we named Azariah, his full name is Azariah Simeon Augustine. And we picked that name very strategically because of what Azariah and Simeon mean. The name Azariah means one who hears God's voice. And I love that name because if there's anything I want, not just for Azariah, but for all my kids, is for them to learn how to hear the voice of God in their lives. But the name Simeon is a little different. It's similar, but different. Simeon means one who obeys God. See, we didn't want Azariah just to hear God's voice. I just don't want my kids to hear God's voice. I want them to take that next step and say, okay, God, I hear what you're telling me. I am going to obey. I'm going to do what you want me to do. So now you know the story behind why we named him the way we did. But that's why I pray for him every day. But friends, I want you to understand, hearing the voice of Jesus and recognizing the voice of Jesus is very, very important. But listening and obeying go hand in hand. If all we do is listen and don't do what he says, what does Jesus tell us that's like? He tells us that it's like a person who builds a house on sand. He calls that person a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I act like one a lot. But I don't want to be a fool when it comes to hearing God's voice and following it and doing it and obeying it. When we obey, we demonstrate to the world around us how much we love Him. And we've already talked about how much He loves us. So the first part of the gate's promise is in our shepherd and what that means for us. But it also means that the sheep are free. As long as they follow the shepherd, the sheep are free. Notice what Jesus says. He says, I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. This idea of going in, it means that we can come in, we can come to God at any time, and friends, this is the reason why, what we just celebrated here. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives our sin, we can now come in and be with Jesus and be with God the Father and spend time with Him and talk to Him. And be with Him and enjoy fellowship with Him. And we can be with God all of the time because His presence never leaves us. But not only can we go out, we can also go in. Or not only can we go in, but we can also go out. I really can talk, I swear. Okay? We can have the confidence, having been with Christ, having been with God, and spending that time with Him, that we can go out and do what needs to be done. This place, the church, it's a wonderful place. This is a wonderful place for us to come once a week, and it's wonderful. But do you know why we only come here once a week? Because the majority of the work is out there. I love all of you. Please don't hear anything less than that. But if all that we live for spiritually is to come to church on Sunday, and we don't take what we're learning on Sunday and apply it to Monday through Saturday, then really what we're doing here is a total waste of time. Let me say it again. I love you. But we are free not just to be free. The scriptures say over and over and over and over again that it is for freedom that you have been made free, but you are not to use that freedom to indulge your sinful nature, but to do the things that God has called us to do. And we have spent many times talking about what it is that God has called us to do. And so we are free. We're free to come in to this place and to worship God and to get our marching orders and to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And to hear from Him. But then we are also free to go out and actually obey Him, just like we are supposed to do, right? But not only does the promise give us our shepherd, not only does it give us freedom, but it also gives us what we need. Jesus says that we can go in and out and we can find pasture. What does that mean? That term pasture has to do with rest. It has to do with being revived. It has to do with being at peace. It also has to do with being sustained with food and water. The food and water that we need when we need it, and guess where it's found? It's also found in Jesus. Remember our first name that we looked at, that Jesus is the bread of life? Do you remember that? But not only that, not only do we find pasture, not only do we find the food and the water and the strength that we need, but it also says that we have been given abundant life. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. We talked about this a little bit last week. Full of life means not only every need, but also everything that gives us peace and security, even in the midst of pain and suffering. Again, I don't want you to hear me say that when we are walking with Christ and hearing God's voice or hearing Jesus' voice and obeying it, that everything is going to be great and perfect for us. Absolutely not. The Bible, I think, talks more about suffering than it talks about happiness. But we can have joy in the midst of that suffering. We can have joy in the midst of that pain. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy whenever you enter trials of many kinds. That doesn't sound fun. Trials don't sound like a reason for rejoicing. Does it? But that's what God tells us to do. And so, that is the gate's promise. And again, we've been talking about this last point, the gate's person. I want to begin by saying who it's not, right? It's not thieves or robbers. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thieves and the robbers want to get into your life to destroy you. Can I say that again? The thieves and the robbers of this world want to get into your life, into the pen of the sheep, into where you are with God, and to separate you from Him. That is the main purpose of the robbers. In Jesus' day, the robbers would climb over the sheep, over the wall, and come in and grab a sheep, climb back over and steal it and take it away. If they could, that's what they would do. And Jesus is saying that the enemy, that the thief and the robbers come only to steal and kill and destroy. They want to steal your joy. And listen, it's not just the people who are coming out and saying sin is good and being good is a sin. It's not those who are calling right wrong and wrong right. It's not those who are calling good evil and evil good. Sometimes it's those even within the church who tell you, you know what, you don't need to be that committed to Jesus. You know, you don't need to have that level of obedience to God. You can have your own thing. You can love yourself a little bit. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says to deny yourself. And they want to steal your joy. They want to separate you from that. They want to kill your testimony. They want to come in and take the testimony that you have to share the love of God that you have received with others. They want to totally destroy. They want to totally kill that. So that your testimony is no longer effective to the people around you. We've seen this happen so many times lately in the lives of godly Christian men who have allowed the thieves to come in to their lives and kill their testimony for Jesus Christ. I don't want that for you, brothers and sisters, and neither does Jesus. The thief comes to steal your joy, to kill your testimony, and to destroy your life, to destroy your relationship with your kids, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your witness at work, to destroy all of the things in your life that are things that God is going to use to bring people to Him. That's what He is trying to destroy. And so the gate is not the thieves and the robbers, but the gate is Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to have what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. Jesus wants to help you have all that makes life worth living. And we're not talking about fancy cars and boats and summer homes. We're talking about peace and joy and love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, forgiveness. This is what Jesus wants to give you. And Jesus wants to take away your sin and give you abundant life here and now. Not abundant life that is free from pain and suffering, but a life that is overflowing with joy and thankfulness and love for God, even in the midst of it. So let me give you a couple of challenges and then we'll close. First challenge, do you know the gate? You know, when you go to the airport, your ticket tells you what gate you're supposed to be at so that you can get on your plane. There's only one gate that'll get you to your plane. Only one. And if you go to the wrong gate, you're going to miss your plane. Do you know the gate? Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only one who could have paid for your sins, and He did. Not only do you know the gate, but do you believe that He is who He claims to be? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice for sin? This is what I mean by knowing the gate. If you believe these things, folks, you're well on your way. But the question still stands, do you know the gate? Do you not just know about Him, but really, truly know Him? I hope you do, but if you don't, then the next question looms large, and that's this. Have you entered by the gate? Jesus said that if you try to come in any other way into the family of God, the sheepfold, then you're a thief and a robber. The Pharisees that Jesus was talking to in John 10 were trying to get into the sheep pen by any other means possible than through Jesus, the gate. They wanted to get in by their goodness. They wanted to get in through the sacrifices they made. They wanted to get in through keeping the law of Moses and the 300 plus other laws that they'd added to it. But Jesus says, no, I am the gate to the sheep pen. And if we want to come to God, then we must come through the gate. Because the gate keeps out what shouldn't be in and directs us to where we need to go. So have you entered by the gate? If you have not, you can enter by the gate this morning. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your sin. B, believe that Jesus is who He claims to be. And C, commit your life to Jesus. Admitting our sin. Yeah, that's fun, right? That's fun to stand up and say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm a low-life reprobate heathen. That's always fun to stand up and say. I'm being sarcastic, in case you couldn't tell. It's not fun to say, and it's not who we are. We don't want to confess that. We don't want to admit that. But until we admit our sin, then the rest of this is going to mean nothing. Because we don't need the gate. We don't need a Savior if we haven't sinned. So we need to admit our sin. Then we have to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and we've already kind of covered that already. But then we need to commit our life to Jesus. And what does that mean? It simply means that we place our faith and trust in Jesus and the death that He suffered on the cross as the payment for our sin. Friends, listen. If you have never made that commitment before, and that is something that you want to do this morning, I am going to say a prayer here really, really quickly. And I just want you in your heart of hearts to pray that prayer. And I look, the words of this prayer mean nothing. They're nothing special. It's not a magic spell, right? This isn't Harry Potter where you say the right words and something happens. That's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is an attitude in your heart that says, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And if that's where you are this morning, then pray something like this. And again, like I said, the words aren't nearly as important as the attitude of your heart. But pray something like this. Lord, I come before you admitting that my sin has kept me from you. I don't want to be outside of the sheep pen anymore. I want to be with you for eternity. I believe that you are the gate and that there is no other way in. I believe that you died for my sin and that death and that sacrifice is enough to take my sin away. So, Lord, I pray that you would give me the courage and confidence to commit my life to you so that I can be a Christian and be allowed into your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friend, this morning, if you prayed that prayer, I want to talk to you after we're done. I do. I want to talk to you. I want you to tell me. I want you to come up and shake my hand and say, Pastor Jim, I prayed that prayer this morning. And I want you to tell me that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to start praying for you. Because, friend, the adventure that you're about to go on is greater than any adventure that has ever been written. And I want to help you take those next steps with Jesus. If you didn't pray that prayer and you know you need to and you haven't, please know that I'm going to continue to pray for you. I'm going to continue to pray that God would work in your life. And I pray you keep coming to Grace Church. Because we love you here, no matter if you know Jesus as your Savior or you don't. It might sound weird, but church is a place where we love each other. Whether you believe that Jesus is Christ or whether you have accepted that gift or not, we will continue to love you. And I hope that you keep coming. Because there is nothing that will keep Jesus from loving you or us from loving you too. Why? Because we know who the gate is. Because we've come in through the gate. Because we know Him, because we love Him, and because we want to be like Him. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this image, this name that you gave yourself. Lord, help us to remember that this is you. It's not us. It's you. Help us to walk in obedience to you. Help us to live in faith, Lord. And if there's one here who knows they need to give their life over to you and hasn't yet, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in their hearts. I pray that you would help those who did pray that prayer this morning to come and talk to me, Lord, so that we can move into that next phase of their walk with you, so they can grow closer to you and begin to understand just what this life is all about. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to help us to be out there during the week, sharing our faith with the people around us, people at work, people in our homes, people in our neighborhoods, people at the gym, at the grocery store, at the gas station. Lord, wherever it is that we go, help us to shine the light of Jesus, to reflect the light of Jesus to a world who so desperately, desperately needs Him. We love you, Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.